South Africa's favorite stockbroker and I have had a long relationship going back, David, longer than Nelson Mandela was in jail. And I can actually say that with some confidence now, because this is our first edition of Biz News Briefing. And we had the first edition of Business Radio 27 and a half years ago at the SABC. Do you remember that? Do you remember coming into those studios in the dungeon?
I do very much. And it was very short. It wasn't. And I have to credit you with actually being the pioneer of business radio and business TV. And I think you set the pace, which of course has grown dramatically since then. But you were a pioneer, yeah.
I got lucky. I went to the SABC, if you recall, 1991, after Madiba was let out of jail, and then spent some time there and got to understand a little bit more about broadcasting, because broadcasting for most South African journalists wasn't really a place that you could go and learn from. And then as we went forward, when I started MoneyWeb, Dave, remember, and then we wanted to make some cheap content because it was so small. And then you came into those studios at SABC. Anyway, so it's 27 and a half years ago that you and I were on air for the first time. So this being the first Biz News Briefing, you're the only person that I could be talking to. So thank you again for all the service you've given to South Africa and indeed to our community. It's extraordinary, though, when you have a look at South Africa, because talking about all those years ago reminds me that we go in cycles, don't we? South Africa has gone through in those 27 years sometimes where people were rushing into the stock market and other times where they were just selling anything they could of South Africa. And right now, I get a feeling we might be going back into the bull phase.
Oh, we're going into a bull market. There's no doubt about that. Global bull market. And Alec, I don't think people appreciate the kind of market we're going into. I think what we forget, and I'm just giving a quick global perspective, we've had 4 years of very difficult markets in which interest rates globally have gone up dramatically. The only thing that kind of offset it or cushioned it was an event in November 22 with the release of ChatGPT, which put a different perspective on the market. But if it wasn't for the release of artificial intelligence, of the money that was spent there, we would have gone through 2.5-3 years of very difficult markets dragged down by high interest rates and the impact that it had not only on businesses but consumers. But what's happened now, that's been reversed. From probably Wednesday when the Fed meets to our meeting on Thursday, we're going to start a succession of interest rates which could go on right through to the end of 2025. And when rates come down, Alec, then markets go. So I think we're going into a very strong phase of equity markets and probably bond markets as well.
It's an interesting point you make there, because over the long term, when interest rates start dropping is the time you should be owning shares.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason is obvious, because I think it's number one, confidence. You'll see that from once rates go down, and confidence returns into an economy, mainly because people are getting more money in their back pocket and they start to spend it. Also, companies are not dragged down by interest rates. I was looking at GrowthPoint results the other day. You know, when you're paying interest rates, it's almost impossible to make ends meet. You know, the prime rate, not that GrowthPoint would pay these levels, but the prime rate's 11.75%. And yet no business can survive if you're borrowing money at those kind of levels. And we need rates to come down dramatically. You know, it's the same kind of thing in the United States where rates are, you know, over 5%. So it's very difficult for businesses to move forward. And therefore, when rates start coming down, it's a big driver of economic growth.
How confident are we that interest rates will be cut on Wednesday in the United States and then triggering similar cuts around the world?
It's not a debate of whether they will be cut. It's the rate at which they're going to be cut. The big debate, is it going to be 50 points? Is it going to be 25 points? And whatever. In fact, I can't find any clear view because there's so much around. There's the camp that believes that the Fed has got a dual mandate, which is not only inflation, it's also employment. And the labor market in the U.S. is starting to feel the pressure. It's slowing down. and you don't want it to slow down too much, you know, that you bring about a recession. So I think you will find there are two camps, those who believe a 50-point is necessary. I think it's almost 60% of views that it would be 50 points. The others is it could be 25 points. So whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It's only that if it's 25 this meeting, it'll be another succession of 25 points right through to the end of 25, where the general view in the US is that rates could come down by as much as 2.25%, 225 basis points of that, which will make a huge difference to spending and confidence in the US. And we will follow suit. We need to come down dramatically. We need a lot more than 225 points. I think a good 4 or 5% down here. So,
what are you expecting on Thursday in South Africa, given that the Fed is going to make their decision on Wednesday?
I hope they change their minds. I hope the Fed is 50, and I hope we're more than 25. Because I think that in South Africa, I'm in the camp that we need growth. We really need something to kickstart this economy. And I think it is almost, in my view, tokenism. And I think sometimes the Reserve Bank needs to be a little bold in understanding what the underlying economy is doing. We need it, Alec. We need it here. And you pick it up in the results. I know that markets are running ahead and share prices are picking up, but that's one part of the equation. The other part is the actual real economy, where people are under huge pressure in terms of just making ends meet. So I'm hoping that the Reserve Bank's a little bold and goes beyond just 0.25%.
We had the first BizNews Investment Conference on Thursday here in Hermanus, and David Shapiro was absent, but you will be, I hope, with us in March. But we did have Piet Viljoen and Sy Jacobs, and their message was very clear. It was, watch out in the United States. Those markets, or there's certain stocks there that are very toppy, but South Africa is offering great value, and particularly what they call small and mid caps. Maybe you can just unpack what that means, small and mid caps, and then indeed if there are any views of theirs that you would share.
I think we're all going to benefit. In other words, I know there's a view that America is overpriced. I don't share the view that America is going to come down, because you will find the market continuing upward, even though you might find a derating, if I can explain that. It means that a lot of these companies, the tech companies that have led the way, and I think are still going to be relevant for the next decade, simply because they have so much power and so much money. What might happen, Alec, is that they might not increase at the same pace that they have, but I don't think they're going to fall over. And I think where Pitt and Sy are right, yes, there will be a shift towards other businesses that will catch up. But you've got to know which other businesses are going to catch up, because things have changed from COVID. Just to give you a view on that, without taking up too much time in this conversation, American beer sales were down to a 43-year low. And why? Because habits have changed. So before we start making predictions, we've got to understand how things have changed in the world and which companies are now going to benefit. So it's very important. This could be a subject of a whole discussion. So you've got to be very careful where you put that money if you're taking it away from tech. From our point of view, the one thing that has held us back here in this market has been, number one, that we're still very heavily reliant on a lot of our offshore businesses. But the one area that I'm starting to look for the turnaround, and it might be premature, is on the commodity side. And I think that's going to be, what's the word I'm trying to say, the one area that's going to surprise us on the upside. We've been dragged down by China. We've been dragged down by concerns about global growth. But, Alec, if you look today, even today, platinum shares, all of a sudden, from the very low levels, are going up. And it's only been the long, and I say, hold on a sec. Platinum price not doing much. Why are these shares going up so fast? Why is the smart money coming in? And I think that's going to be one of our surprise factors, is going to be on the commodity side. It I might be premature. I might be too early, but I'm looking for the signs of what can drive our market. And I think it's going to come from that area.
Now, that's so interesting you make a point of that, because Cy Jacobs disclosed to us that he has started buying platinum shares on the strength of the first person blinking, which was Sibanye-Stillwater, who cut 200,000 ounces off the Stillwater production last week. And he said it's been like all of the platinum companies have been looking at each other and seeing the prices fall, but nobody has reacted and cut their output to improve the demand, improve the price. And he says that he saw this as a big thing last week. He took that as a signal. And interesting, the point you make about the platinum shares today, which this is Monday, the 16th of September, Anglo Platinum up again. And we're seeing some of the other precious metal stocks going too. So are you nibbling in there, David, given that these shares are down at multi-year lows?
I haven't started yet, but that doesn't mean, I still think there's plenty of time to make that decision, plenty of time. And I think that what will happen, if I looked at China today, the numbers coming out of there are really poor. And that economy is struggling, if I could say that, if that's the right word. It's not really struggling, it's slowing down. But I think we're going to see stimulus coming there. I think the authorities there, the government there has to do something. And I think once the market gets a whiff of that and it starts coming through, you know, the iron ore price, which is in the low 90s now, which is a very low level, and it's normally a level from which it bounces. We're talking about platinum. Copper. Remember when BHP made the bid for Anglo's? Copper was 11,000. It's now down in the 9,000s, early 9,000s. So I think all of these things will come right in a global economy that is starting to pick up. And Ali, you said markets are made of swings and roundabouts and ups and downs. No one rings the bell and says to you, phones you up and Alec and says, Alec, I think it's time for you to buy. It happens so fast. You know what I mean? And it happens with immense speed. So you've got to be, when you start to see these signals, then you've got to make the commitment. And I'm very bullish for the next couple of months. Next couple of months starting and then into 2025.
The other bull factors that Cy was talking about in more broad terms were the government of national unity, which he believes will hold. And then we had the chairman of Eskom, Mteto Nyati, who was one of our presented a keynote that was so well received, not least by the investment gurus who were there. Those are the two factors that is making Cy Jacobs and 361 and Piet Viljoen and the RCM guys feel very upbeat about South Africa. What's your view on those two? Government of national unity being sustained and Eskom being able to keep us away from load shedding?
I think those are positive moves. But I have to just mention one thing. And what I like about Cy and Piet is that they are not index trackers. In other words, they buy portfolios. They buy a parcel of shares. Okay. And I'll tell you why I say that. Because when I do the analysis of the South African market, 70% of the companies of market cap are made up of businesses who earn less than 25% in South Africa. In fact, I'm being generous with 25%. I think that earn probably 15 or less than 15% of their income in South Africa. The other 10%, there's another 10%, which are the miners at foreign dollars. But 80% of our market, for all intents and purposes, is rand hedge. And it's made up of old economy stocks, British American Tobacco, I call the resource companies old economy, and so on. So the only 20%, and even that might be exaggerated, of our market is SAE. And that's important. Now, if you're Piet, and if you're Cy and you focus on some really good underlying businesses, you're going to do well. You know what I mean? You might even see a PPC, which has been slaughtered, absolutely trashed, turn around at a level that you can't believe as fixed investment starts to happen here because of the factors that you mentioned, Eskom, government and national unity, that Transnet, all of those coming, more investment in infrastructure and that. So those companies, your favorite, Wilson Bailey, companies like that, will start to do incredibly well. But you've got to pick your stocks. You can't just say, I'm going to buy the Cetrix or something, because then you're probably not going to do as well as an individual portfolio. I think that's where Pitt and Sy are very strong.
They talk about small and mid caps, and you've actually put that's your finger on the button there. Dave, before we go, two last things. The Elon Musk announcement or reference from President Ramaphosa last week, saying that he's now talking to Elon. This is on Starlink. We know that the African countries have got Starlink, and it's a fabulous product. In South Africa, it's not come in yet because Elon doesn't want to give away 30% to politically well-connected people. He refuses to do that. But now we see almost a change in attitude by the president, saying he's talking to Elon, he's bringing, come back here, Elon, come to South Africa. That's got to be a little bit of a bull factor.
You know why, Alec? Because the world is moving at such a fast pace. I'm a big AI person. I love big tech, and I look at it all the time. And you can't keep pace with it. And it's not only technology. It's not only at that level. It's in the pharmaceutical areas that we're seeing the weight loss drugs. So there's so much development taking place in the world now, which is going to dominate where the spending is and how we live. And South Africa has to make it. The one thing that links us is fast internet, is, in other words, access to all these new technological products. So it's when we hear that kind of stuff, it's very important for us. We can't fall back on development. That to me is one of the biggest areas that we have to focus on. Just hoping that it does happen, that we are able to use these products, because it's essential for us not to fall behind the rest of the world.
And my last point is, we've had a couple of interesting companies reporting today, Metrophile, ARK Invest. Yep. Do you know much about these two businesses?
I know Metrophile very much. It's part of SanVest. It goes back to the late 80s. So I know the company. The big problem, in fact, if I look at Oceano, is also out today, as well as one of the issues there is we're starting to see volumes fall. And even if you follow the retailers, sorry if I'm going slightly off track, but there's a point that I want to make on Metrophile, and that's slowdown in business. When volumes start to fall, that's a concern. And even in the grocers, looking at both of those results, Metrophile, maybe their technology has fallen behind. I thought they keep up, but it's also an indication of a slowing down of business. With ARK, the two youngs, the underlying businesses are very good, Alec. And they're frustrated because their intrinsic value doesn't match the share price. In other words, it's a deep discount. And I think one of the reasons is that you're not quite sure what you're buying. You know, it's little bits of everything. And it's the same as the old days in Remgro. When you used to buy Remgro, you knew you were buying Richemont in there, or British American Tobacco, what was then Rothmans or whatever it was. So you could identify what you were buying, and that's why you bought it. I still think ARK has got to refine its portfolio, that it's a couple of good businesses in there that attract investors, and the discount will narrow.
David Shapiro, South Africa's favorite stockbroker, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.